Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Wherever you are around this ever more beleaguered, if not besieged, planet, it's a tough one out there. And for all of you who are relatively new to the alt news world, keep your seatbelts fastened. It's really just floating garbage, liars, deceivers, frauds, cheats, miscreants, you name it. I've never seen a bigger assemblage of just awful people. Some of them are really nice, but there are an awful lot of them there that are just the worst. It's a very difficult thing to navigate through. So just go slowly and keep yourself securely fastened. Otherwise, you're going to get knocked out of your chair and you'll drown in one line of disinformation or another. Are you there, young lady?
I am. Happy Monday,
right.
Jeff.
Oh, yes. Happy Monday.
Back at it.
You were just telling me that they're kind of relaunching MSM?
Oh, yeah, the chlorine dioxide stuff, that's still...
MSM, there we go.
MMS. CDS.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still a thing, and people believing that it's somehow protecting them, and I have ample stories to indicate that it's not.
Oh, we've established that. We've done programs on it in the past, and I would urge all of you to go look in the archives and find those programs and beware. It's not a joke.
No, it's not. And you know, one of the features of this bioweapon illness is this dark colored blood in addition to the clotting. Now, when you have dark blood, burgundy colored, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be black, but in some cases, you know, if
black,
it's severe, it can
cherry.
Be black.
Black cherry.
Yeah, that's an indication that your red blood cells or hemoglobin is becoming oxidized. And you should have enough glutathione in your red blood cell to recycle it back. So it gains and loses electrons and refreshes itself, so to speak. But when it's black, that process isn't happening. And that putting another oxidizing agent into your body with that going on can be catastrophic. And
no joke.
I don't think people know that.
No, they don't. That's why I started out with this caution about the alt news world, because it's like you're in a huge train station, Grand Central Station, and there are trains going out all the time on different tracks to different locations. And many of those locations are not worth your time. Information. It's false. It's just...
There's so much, it's not solid information. It's
partial.
Good for entertainment.
That's well said. No, exactly.
But it isn't a whole lot better for truth and honesty than the mainstream media.
No, what the mainstream media
does,
it
takes a long time to...
They lie by omission. Yeah, they just don't report it. The alt media reports it, but it's so scrambled and corrupted in many ways, and intentionally so, that it really can confuse a lot of people who are otherwise honest truth seekers. They really want to know what's going on. And that's most people who go to the alt news, but man, it is really getting worse and worse. It's not good out there. Very difficult. And then we have urine therapy. No, urine therapy has not gone away. You remember?
Oh, that's still out there, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone actually said something about how it's really good to reset your DNA. That's kookism. That's crazy.
I know.
So
I know.
Just be careful. We care, you care, you wouldn't be here, and it's just getting nuttier all the time. Now, speaking of nutty, euthanasia, it's murder, basically. They call it suicide, I guess, but they're just killing people for fun and profit. And I'm convinced that some of these people doing the euthanizing, are actually enjoying it. I think there are some really weird, sick people in that business. That's just me, not speaking for anybody else. But it's a very creepy thing to do, especially if the person involved literally has years left on life. They're not all these terribly incapacitated, crippled, stage 10 cancer people. They're people who just want out. Yeah, they've got some grounds, but Canada's not trying to talk anybody out of it. I think they're only too happy. And they're apparently killing now, euthanizing, 36 people a day on average. And if it's 36 now, and if we're still here in a year, what will it be then? I'll bet it'd be several hundred. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, that's what they're admitting to. What's the real number?
That's the point. The MSM will lie by omission, so we don't know. You just can't trust it. Dr. William Mackis had some remarks on euthanasia in Canada, and he's a man always to be listened to, so I thought we'd do that. What do you think? Is there anything you want to do to set this up? I'm ready.
Yeah, this was an interview he did with a couple of Australians. You know, just talking about the atrocities that are going on and just how pervasive they are, and they don't really show any sign of letting up.
No, we've got a kicker.
I don't think we've hit that 100th monkey yet.
No. After this, we've got a kicker for it. You're not going to believe this one. We'll get to it in just a few minutes. All right, here's Dr. William Mackis, MD.
I believe Canada is probably the number one country in the world in terms of the looseness of the requirements that you have to meet to be approved for medical assistance in dying or euthanasia. I think we're leading the charge in the world in terms of who can get access to this. Now, I'll tell you something that's quite frightening that's been put on the table a couple of months ago by the federal Canadian government. There's a committee composed mostly of liberal members of parliament, but there's a couple of conservative members of parliament there as well. And they're proposing two additions to this medical assistance in dying. Number one is that minors, children, can have the final say in getting euthanized or medical assistance in dying without parental consent. That's number one. There is no age cutoff. So what they do is they've introduced this concept for several years now called a mature minor. And a mature minor has no age cutoff. It is purely in by the determination of the presiding doctor. So if you have a 10-year-old in front of you and you're a far-left doctor and you say, well, you know, this 10-year-old is very mature, this is a mature minor, then that 10-year-old child can make the final decision for medically assisted suicide without parental consent. This is what they've put on the table. They want this approved within the year. That's number one. Number two is they've now also proposed that people with any kind of mental health diagnosis or illness can agree to euthanasia if they have no other medical conditions. And so you can imagine how this could be potentially abused.
So somebody gets into a depressed state and they're put on SSRIs, which often have no effect in terms of mitigating that. And they get depressed and they have suicidal ideation. And so they can just make a couple calls and sign a couple papers and check out. This is a Orwellian, post-Orwellian stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm suffering from depression. Okay, we'll approve you for medical assistance in dying. Just like that, with no other medical conditions. And so the Trudeau government has put both of these recommendations on the table. They want this approved within the year. And so this is another broad expansion of the eligibility for this, you know, euthanasia.
It's not what doctors do. Doctors don't take life, you know. We're meant to preserve life. It's really distressing. And when they talk about mental health and children. And then I saw a paper where they were crowing that you could do MAID and then get the body on ice so it can be used as for organ donation. So you've got to wonder what are the conflicts of interest and motivations behind these protocols. Either way, we've had such a breach of ethics around COVID, but you mentioned informed consent. Myself and a couple of other people who were attacked in Australia, we set up a website called lighthousedeclaration.org. And the idea of the declaration was just, hang on, guys, let's just, rather than all the division, just let's talk about basic principles.
Okay. That was the part I wanted you to hear with Dr. Mackus. They're just doing things that it almost discredits to the extent that I would say it decertifies this species as being competent. This is crazy. We're supposed to have
Where is the reverence for life?
Thank you. The species is really, I think, in some seriously worthy to consider fashions heading right over the edge. I think it's done. It's not a worthy steward of the planet. Either way, they're just killing people right and left for organs, for money, and now they're after children. Come on.
Yeah, it's blatantly obvious.
And this is all getting traction and coverage in the mainstream media, which is just as bad as the alt media or vice versa. It's just crazy out there. The war on children and childhood was the last indicator that this species is going down. It's being taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And it is murder. And it is mass murder. And I think all of you who have been with us for any length of time or who know about what's going on understand now that 2 years ago, when all these people were dying, they had flu. They were put in the hospital in most cases and given remdesivir to kill them. Or to force them
on ventilators.
Or
they were denied the proper treatment. They were denied antibiotics.
No ivermectin. No, nothing. And putting them on a ventilator is death. Okay, that's what they did. So they destroyed the kidneys with remdesivir, lungs filled up with fluid, put them on the vent, and they're gone. I lost a friend. Well, we both lost somebody that we had worked with and tried to help along this whole line of inquiry and realization. And they killed him. They killed so many people.
I know.
Ultimately, millions, probably.
Yep.
Okay. The story I want to follow up with on this is, it's really hard. It's hard to believe. The species is honestly it's in terminal freefall. Canada expands assisted suicide laws to allow for the killing of infants for profit. Canadian doctor Lewis Roy is leading the charge to allow toddlers and infants, we're talking about little baby diaper 3-month-old kids, to be killed through euthanasia. Boasting the world's laxest, as you heard, most lax, loose guidelines for suicide laws, assisted suicide laws, as Dr. Mack has said. Canada is now a safe haven for young children. We're talking about little babies here to be euthanized for profit under the, quote, expansive medical assistance in dying, MAID, how about MAD, program. From now on, infants deemed by whom? What motivation? Deemed to be too sickly can be signed up for assisted suicide in Canada, even though critics argue that a young child is not old enough to make any kind of an informed decision. Of course not a chance. And who's to determine if someone is too sickly? What is sickly? It's the whole thing is the old expression, a can of worms. It's far beyond that. This is crazy. Little babies
are not self-aware.
They can't
choose
suicide.
No, but I'm wondering if they are, as a result of these genetic injections, if they are anticipating a wave of, sickly babies.
I think they are.
They'll have malformations.
They're, as you've said many times, here's a baby born, seemingly healthy. Well, tune in another year and a half to see if the baby's even competent. You don't know.
Right. You can see if they have 10 fingers and 10 toes, and they appear to be normal, but, you know, and some they're not. You know, I've heard the stories of
We've heard a lot of them.
Labor and delivery nurses that there's some real horrific malformations in some of these babies.
That's the kind of protocol that should be utterly mandated for this program. Severe, gross physical abnormalities or obvious inconsistencies, shall we say.
Problems. But, you know, a lot of times if the mother is receiving prenatal care, these defects become obvious well before the child is born.
Right. Ultrasound can show some of them.
Yeah.
At any rate, what does a little baby want? All they want to be is held, fed, and kept warm and comfortable. That's it. They're not able to make decisions on any of this.
A devoted parent, even if the child is somehow not properly right, they don't want to kill it.
There are many, many very heroic families, mothers and fathers, who will raise a child who has defects. And they'll give it a wonderful life. And that's the higher end of the morality of this species.
Mm-hmm.
Providing for the less well-equipped, however you want to phrase
it. Well, if you made a decision to bring life into this world, then
isn't
that your commitment?
Right. It's crazy. Okay. So there you go. Euthanasia is booming. Big business. All right. What do we have here now? We have an unvaccinated man who has been totally ruined after a... Go ahead.
Blood transfusion.
How many times have we urged you, please don't get a transfusion? I know you. Well, I had to. Okay, fine. You did. You got it. Done. If it's elective, if it's voluntary, never even think about it. In fact, the idea of even sticking a needle in anybody anymore really bothers me. So transfusions will kill you. I have firsthand knowledge of somebody I knew and worked with for a number of years, 10, and this individual was told that transfusions were mandatory to help with some kind of a lingering, sounded like chronic fatigue. So I urged this person not to do it. Well, the person went to a big hospital and got double or treble transfusions, and as I suggested to another member of the group, the person died within 6 weeks. Gone. Spike. mRNA.
Yeah, the blood's contaminated. There's no question.
But the blood is one of the most dangerous, dirty things imaginable now.
You know, it's another way of spreading this disease.
You get a transfusion, you might as well have taken two shots and at least one booster. You're getting dosed. And now that we know there are up to 400 billion pieces of DNA, whole DNA, parts of DNA, that can certainly meld with your own DNA in each injection, you're just insane to take it. But again, you have the right to informed consent. That means an informed decision. You're not given the facts. They're not giving the facts to anybody in these pharmacies now that are cranking out the shots or wherever else they're doing it.
No.
How many people have we talked to and we've asked, I remember asking, did you have the data? Were you presented the data and counseled on how to make an informed decision? No. No one ever said anything. Just roll up
your
sleeve.
Well, they thought they were getting a safe and effective vaccine. You know, they believe the propaganda. The media wouldn't lie.
Oh, my. I think if anyone ever, people used to ask me, well, why did you quit your television news career? Why did you stop being an anchorman, news director? I think all of you understand and probably would make the same decision. It's just gone to hell, the whole profession.
Awful. Well, they're just script readers now. They're not really reporting on current events.
No. And you remember the video? I think many of you saw it. I've run it a couple of times. It must have, I don't know, 40 different windows in it, like a checkerboard, and each one is a different local newscast from around the country, and each one has the talent, we used to call it, reading the exact verbatim same script. Mm-hmm. We're talking dozens of different TV stations reading the exact same script.
I remember that, yeah.
All right. Here's this poor guy who got a transfusion. I'm sure they told him, it's fine, it's been screened. Don't worry. Be happy. Let's see how happy he is.
Is this the complaint, Al? Why are pirates pirates? Because they are. It's for the first time I've ever had Bell's palsy.
I should tell you that the entire right side of his face is completely paralyzed. He's got Bell's palsy and more. That's what he's talking about. It's a little hard to understand. Not much, but a little bit.
This is me lifting my eyebrows. And why is that annoying? Because since the blood transfusion of my hip replacement, I'm now unofficially vaccinated. And I've had all the same symptoms as everyone else. Heart issues, liver issues, bladder issues, pneumonia, the neck pain, the dreaded jab neck pain. Everyone's got that one. See people walking around the shopping center rubbing their back of their neck. But anyway, for all those that are not affected by the jab, I please for you, I really am. Sorry, I've got to hold up this eyelid because it hurts that it doesn't blink. It's like free Botox in it. When it hangs down, gets rid of some wrinkles up here. Anyway, what other symptoms do I have? Neuropathy in the feet. It's like walking on pins and needles the rest of your life. And now this Bell's palsy, named after some doctor that named it after himself. Anyway, up to you if you want to keep getting the jab. But firstly, my family, my sister, in and out of hospital a lot, very sick. My brother died of renal failure, never even had an issue with it. But anyway, onwards and upwards. And I think it says on my profile, I'm still a glass half full guy, but once complained of sore feet till I met a man with no legs. What are the other symptoms? Extra inflammation, which is an ongoing problem for all humans and the cause of a lot of injuries, but joint swelling, joint pain, just sends your arthritis through the roof. But anyway, generally feel unwell, but just putting it out there. If you want to keep getting the jab, by all means. And if it doesn't affect you, who am I to judge? But I know where you can stick it. That's my rant for the day. Onwards and upwards.
There you go. Went in for a hip replacement. Pretty common surgery now. And, we're going to have to give you a pint of blood maybe or two if you're in trouble here.
That's
a little blood.
I didn't think. He said he had a hip replacement, was it?
I think it was hip replacement.
I mean, I've known several people that have had that done, and rarely have they needed a transfusion.
No, I agree. I think they're doing it in many cases. They'll probably tag on $1,000 to the bill just to slip somebody a whatever it is,
a pint
of blood. This is money. It's all money. Hospitals don't. To trust a hospital and the medical establishment is to really ask for it. You're begging for big trouble. Let's see what he said. I think he said hip. Yeah, I think he said hip replacement. Let's see.
Is this the complaint hour? Why are pirates pirates? Because they are. So the first time I've ever had Bell's palsy, this is me lifting my eyebrows. And why is that annoying? Because since the blood transfusion of my hip replacement, I'm now unofficially vaccinated.
No, he had a hip replacement.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a surgery that typically loses a lot of blood, so.
Not that I've heard, but I have heard people.
Unless the knife slips.
That. Yeah, it's nuts. All right, we're going to move over to.
I should say this. The question comes up often in some of these groups as to whether or not there is any possible way of getting unvaxxed blood should you need it. And I'm aware of two organizations that are purported to be doing that now. One is Radius Health Exchange, radiushealthexchange.com, and that was started by Dr. Kathleen Ruddy. And then there's this one called Safe Blood that was started by a naturopath, Swiss naturopath, over in Europe, but I think they are operating here in the States as well. And I think Sherry Tenpenny had put out another one, a third one, and I can't recall the name. But we, Jeff and I, were going to do some investigation and call them and find out, you know, what is the criteria? How are they screening their donors to ensure that they're truly A, unvaxxed, and B, don't already have spike protein in their blood?
It's hard. Okay. We're also up to this thing about, well, the two companies that are, is it two companies? I think you said two, that are offering unvaxxed blood, right?
Yes.
How thoroughly is that blood screened? That's the big question.
Right.
Really? I mean, really, how thoroughly is it screened? We know that the blood can be a vector for all kinds of unwanted issues. You got spike protein. We're just going to talk about the bioweapon now. You got spike protein. You got mRNA potentially in the blood as well, right? You got the DNA plasmids in there. You may have liquid nanoparticles surrounding the mRNA, which may be free-floating in the blood, and you may get that too. So you're literally getting vaxxed. Now, if somebody goes in and says, I haven't been vaxxed, no way. But that person works in an office with 8 or 10 other people in close proximity and is getting shed upon all day. And we know now that the shedding victims are showing the same profile in many cases as the vaxxed. So
yeah.
How safe is the unvaxxed blood? Really?
I don't know that there's really, I mean, certainly it's better than, I think, taking from the general pool of donors.
Agreed. Yeah.
But I don't know how much better. I mean, either way, I think you're taking a chance. You know, they're not screening for the actual SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is still present,
right,
and circulating. And people can carry that up to 2 years.
Yeah, at least.
And then, you know, the presence of spike protein or spike protein fragments.
And that's another thing
we
should talk about a little bit, too. Go ahead. Finish. Yeah, that's a point.
Well, again, you know, you can probably ascertain whether there's full-length spike protein in the blood. But are you able to test for the fragments of the protein, which we know have amyloidogenic sequences in them? They are, you know, can start the process of protein misfolding.
Exactly.
So at any rate, the ideal situation would be to be, you know, have an autologous donation, which means you donate your own blood ahead of time, but you would have to have the forethought of knowing you're going to need the blood. It doesn't, you know, it has a short shelf life.
Right. For elective surgeries and so forth, that's the only
right
way to go. And I also wonder how many people, I'll bet they're paying a premium for unvaxxed blood, and how many people going in to donate unvaxxed blood are liars.
Well, again, so we'd have to ask, you know, what is your screening procedure? How thorough is it?
That's what I raised that issue, yeah, a couple minutes ago. Well, how are they doing it? We don't know. We need to call. I guess we'll get on this. We'll call and see what they say. They can only screen for so much. And the other side of that coin is I will bet that they're going to mix the blood the same general way they do with Red Cross donations. They mix it together and they extract platelets. They do this and that. But it's still mixed. It's pooled. So they're going to pool unvaxxed blood. Well, suppose somebody's lying. And they are vaxxed or they're shed
well,
upon vaxxed.
Yeah, I, you know, there's many questions here. I had the impression with the Radius Health Exchange that the donor, they will compile a list of qualified donors, and when the time comes, if it's in, you know, a geographic area and someone's in need of your type of blood, and it needs to be typed for ABO blood type, Rh factor, and then, you know, there's 44 different antigens that can be present on a red blood cell that may or may not be a compatibility issue. So they apparently do that type of testing. And then you would be called upon, I think, on short notice to go and donate blood if somebody in that area was in need. That's my understanding right now. I could be mm-hmm. wrong, but I didn't have the impression they were pooling.
I'd like to find out. There are questions that need to be asked directly of these people, for sure.
Right, yeah.
Okay, FLCCC.
You know, that's going to be big business.
It already is. So is
and I think it will attract a lot of unscrupulous people.
How about the unvaxxed sperm banks?
That too.
What are they screening for? How are they screening? How do they really know someone is telling the truth? And we know from the late Dr. Arnie Burkhardt's work that once this mRNA goes nuts in your system, you literally are no longer producing sperm. You're wall-to-wall spike. Wall-to-wall.
Yep.
He couldn't find any sperm in the two autopsies that he talked about directly. So anyhow. All right. We're running out of time already. FLCCC. We got some more interesting comments here. Many of you may have seen Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, whose job it is, she's still in the military, to determine whether military pilots are suited, are fit to fly. That's her job, among other things. So tell us a little bit more about this, and we'll play some clips.
So this was last week's weekly webinar, Wednesday, where it was Pierre Corey and Paul Merrick interviewing Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long and Colonel Pete Chambers, I believe, who was a...
Correct, Dr. Pete Chambers.
Yes, down on the border, 1,250-mile section of border in Texas.
In charge of 5,000 troops were under
that's
his
right.
oversight.
So he had some firsthand experience when the vax were rolled out in administering them to his troops, and it came to a point where he was giving informed consent, as he should, and they gave him an ultimatum to stop giving informed consent or get out, and so he chose the latter.
That's the kind of integrity that we all would like to think is out there when we look at the masses. Unfortunately,
right.
It's not there anymore. It's there, but you know what I'm talking about. Look at some of these pictures from the cities now where you've got gangs of blacks, some Latinos, and they'll swarm a UPS truck or a FedEx truck, and they'll break into it, and they'll steal all the packages. Or they'll do these gangbanger retail store looting. And they can just go in and destroy everything and steal everything. This is going to get worse. You watch. We're not going to need international terrorism in here. The people who already live here are more than capable of causing plenty of trouble on their own. Add to that the simple fact, though, that we are going to be seeing legitimate terrorist attacks in this country at some point, probably maybe any day. There are lots of perpetrators here waiting for the go-ahead. That's the way it seems to be. Okay. Here's Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long. She's kind of self-explanatory here with what you're going to hear, so we'll just play it.
Take in neurologic, cardiac events, autoimmune diseases, cancers. And I would tell you, I'm personally aware of five people who've had strokes, five pilots who have had strokes. And probably the most shocking for me is that in the last five events that I've seen that are cardiac arrest or a myocarditis, not myocarditis, myocardial infarction or stroke, that what you're finding in people is that they were some of the first people to be vaccinated. In, you know, January 2021. And that for me is terrifying. That, you know, people think they're out of the woods and they think that, you know, I got vaccinated back in 21, I'm good to go. And that's not the case. And mind you, when I talk about these things, I field phone calls from all across the DOD pretty much on a daily basis. So when I talk about things, I'm not talking about necessarily one population in particular. So but active duty service members nonetheless. So this is deeply concerning to me, and I've seen throughout this a pattern of people with their complete blood cell counts or their CBCs. I had never seen so many abnormal CBCs in my entire career, and they are not shockingly abnormal. They're just suppressed. The suppressed white blood cell count, suppressed neutrophils, suppressed lymphocytes, and elevated platelets or low platelets, elevated liver enzymes. And you kind of look at this pattern and you know what to make of it, because it's for the first time I've probably viewed tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of CBCs in my career. And for the most part, the only time you would see an abnormal CBC is if someone was bleeding out, or you had a female who had a heavy menstrual cycle and they were anemic, had some kind of anemia. But now all of a sudden, it's almost the same pattern of immune suppression. And you know, I've seen those people where you don't know what to make of it. You don't know what to make of it. And then all of a sudden, they have myasthenia gravis or they have some weird autoimmune disorder. And, you know, I personally have pretty significant concerns that we are just heading into a tsunami.
I agree. What's happening is these slow-fused vax-injured who show very little symptomology are now beginning to show it. And it sometimes is on multiple platforms in their body. It's just taken 2 years in some cases.
Well, that's typical of an autoimmune disease that, you know, it takes time for enough damage to an organ to accumulate to actually manifest in symptoms.
Right. Right. All right. She goes on to talk about some of the bigger events she's running into coming on 2 years after injection.
The strokes and cardiac issues are coming on 2 years later. And so I'm constantly looking to see what were the indicators that this was coming on. Was this someone who's been having chest pain for, you know, the last year, and then all of a sudden they have a heart attack? And the scary thing is, no, you know, you kind of look at these things, and sometimes it's been just small things, you know, migraine headaches and surging blood pressures is another one that scares me to death. I see a lot of it. I see a lot of kidney stones that precede something, you know, that had kidney stones 1 year, and then boom, 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 go down the line and we find a blood clot, or we find cancer.
Cancer. Very, very common now amongst those who have been struggling with injuries. And again, the dark side of that is that the people don't even know they have cancer. They go in with other complaints and they're told after a workup, looks like you've got some real serious problems here and you got stage 4 cancer. We've talked about this a number of times. It's really crazy.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, it's a multi-causal type of cancer. I mean, it starts, I would say, with the conditions of low oxygen throughout the body. This microclotting is starving every organ and tissue of a blood supply of oxygen. And that right there sets the stage for cancer.
Right. Oh,
and
what
yeah,
I
the inability
to
repair damage. Mm-hmm. It's not surprising that different cancers are springing up in different areas at the same time. And, right. You know, Walter Chestnut wrote an article probably 2 years ago that talked about this exact scenario quite eloquently.
Mm-hmm. He's a good researcher. Very good.
Very good.
One thing I wanted to mention before we run out of time completely is that a lot of people, and I don't want to scare anybody or dissuade anybody from anything because this is all just spec. There are supplements out there which supposedly will interfere with the spike protein, cause it to break down, etc. Now, that sounds good, but it may not be good if a piece of a spike protein can, in point of fact, become a negative or damaging element in your system. And we don't know that it can't. So that's
right.
This thing has so many facets. I didn't explain that very well. I don't know if I did, but...
Well, we've mentioned it before, and this pertains mostly to the enzymes that are being used, the natokinase and the bromelain, to fragment the spike, to break it up into pieces so that it's not as problematic. But given that there are amyloidogenic sequences, 7 that we know of in the spike when it breaks apart, what are these enzymes breaking the spike into?
Right.
Now, we know the host enzyme called neutrophil elastase does break the spike at a point that exposes these sequences. And this is thought to contribute to the blood clotting issue. Nobody, as far as I know, has looked at what happens when you break the spike apart with something like bromelain or natokinase. Where
the work's not been done yet that we know of.
Right.
No.
And enzymes look for flanking sequences. That tells the enzyme where to cut the protein. So that, you know, in the case of these amyloidogenic sequences, they're unique. There's a pattern or sequence of amino acids that cause them to behave as a protein misfolding propagon. In other words, it just has to come into contact with one protein, type of protein, and then have that misfold, and then that protein can go on to translate or transfer its misfolded form to the same protein that you know is next to it or in the vicinity, and that's why it's these neurodegenerative diseases are so insidious that once that process starts, It's not easy to stop it if it's
no
possible
stop
at
button.
All.
No,
yeah.
We don't know of any stop button.
And it's silent. You really don't know what's happening until there's quite a bit of damage that's been done.
We make this point because it's illustrative of the complexity of this bioweapon and what it does to the body. Now, I take natokinase and bromelain every day. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, I do too.
We're not trying to tell you what to do or what not to do. We're just telling you that to break a whole spike up may not be the best thing in the world. We just don't know. No one's doing that work. So anyhow, for what it's worth, there you go. All right, back to Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long. Just a short little clip about chest pains, which many people have.
So for 10 years in medicine, I was out, in Texas seeing young, healthy people. And if a 22 or 24-year-old came in and told me they had chest pain, I didn't rush them off to the cath lab or anything. You kind of went, oh, costochondritis, they're doing too many push-ups. Now, the hair stands up on the back of my neck, and I can't explain. And all these people, young, healthy people in their 20s, all of a sudden they got a blood pressure of 160 over 100, and their providers are just putting them on multiple blood pressure medications, and no one's stopping and saying, why the hell is this 24-year-old have this acute onset of high blood pressure? Can we bring it down? Yes, we can bring it down. But there's something else going on.
Oh, there's a lot of something else going on. No one has really assayed the length and breadth of the damages and the damage protocols that are embedded in these shots. We've tried, but I've not seen anyone successfully laid out a big picture. It would be one hell of a panorama of horror if you did lay it all out. I'm sure someone has somewhere, but just to contemplate that, it's just too many ways of being anti-life. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's daunting, utterly daunting.
All right, we got time for one more little clip here. Hang on. Okay. All right, Teresa Long again. This is another short one, but it's worth it.
You walk into where people are still chanting safe and effective. And, no matter how much literature you bring to people, they refuse to see it, or they don't want to see it. They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's been a
case. And I suppose it's very difficult otherwise to explain the illnesses you're seeing in otherwise healthy young people. Why should this be happening?
Well, I've had several now where I've caught two cases of MS and myasthenia gravis and weird lupus. And as the providers, it never even crossed their mind that this was something bigger. But if you listen to these guys, they'll tell you. A good professor in medicine used to always tell me, if you'll just shut up long enough, right, the patient will tell you exactly what's wrong with them.
Yep.
And for my guys and men and women, they want to fly so bad that if they come in and they tell us something, they kind of know it's going to prevent them from doing what they want to do.
So that actually.
Okay, so that's the dilemma of people. I mean, imagine you've gone in the service, you've trained and trained, and you've really become a good pilot, and you took this shot, and now you're in trouble, and you no longer can fly.
And at some point, she talked about how there have been incidents that can be attributed to, pilot incapacitation at times.
Right. There's another piece. We'll get to this a little bit more on Wednesday, I think. But you get the idea. These are really top-level, objective, honest people who are doing this. She obviously cares deeply about her job and her people, and it must be heartbreaking to tell someone, you not only can't fly anymore, but we can't transfer you to any other place in in the service.
Right.
You're done. You're now being released. And they're just cut loose.
Yeah.
Yep. End of the line. It's really very, very bad out there. And you heard in the beginning, she said, a tsunami is coming. We've been...
Yeah, it's been building.
Yes, and it's building all the time. Okay, I guess that's it for this edition. We will be back on Wednesday. Anything to add?
Nope. I think that covers it.
I hope they don't fire her. She's still working. She's still in the military. But boy, is she telling the truth.
Well, did you see the military is now trying to bribe people to enlist?
I have the poster up. Poster's on the homepage. You'll see it.
A $50,000 sign-on bonus, and you don't have to take a vaccine.
No. It says COVID vaccine not required. Imagine how that impacts all the people who took the shot.
Yeah, I know.
To stay in. Oh, were they set up? This is mass murder. And anybody who studies this will come to the approximate same conclusion. But you're not going to see anyone held accountable. It's not going to happen.
No.
It's like holding Israel accountable for the endless war crimes it's committing. They're laughing. They're not going to.
Well, it's government-sanctioned genocide is what it is.
Right. And the government is no longer of, by, and for the people. The government is simply a servant of those in the shadows, in the darkness,
right,
who are running the planet. Don't forget that.
And I pity the people that cannot see this by now. It's getting tedious.
Yes, it is. Okay, good job. Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Right. Good night, everyone.
And thank you for being here again. These programs are all posted on the right side of the homepage at rents.com, and you're encouraged to share them and listen to them a couple of times. Always something you get the second time around, you miss the first. Back with more in just a few.